Please open your Bibles to the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Matthew 22, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1031, beginning with the 41st verse. We'll read responsively through the end of the chapter. The 42nd verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Again, let's stand, please. All of us standing for the reading of God's Word. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Father, we of course commit to thy keeping the service tonight. We pray that thou wouldst keep our minds and help us to stay alert and to listen with purpose. We pray that thou wouldst keep our preacher, keep him in thy care, and give him that which he needs in order to bring the message that we need. Thank you for such a church. Thank you for these 112 years. Many, many people have sacrificed and borne the burden of the care of this church through the years in order to make possible a service like tonight. So bless us, help us, and help us to bring honor to Thee and honor to all those who've preceded us and made possible what we have and what we enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll ask you tonight to pay rapt attention, as always, but especially tonight. I'm going to speak on the subject, those who knew him best. This is going to be a very unusual message because the introduction will be twice or three times as long as the sermon. So when I get to the sermon, if it's about 9:30, don't think we're going to be here till midnight because we will be going within another couple of hours, I assure you. But I do want to remind you that most of the sermon tonight is introduction. I want to speak from the one little line we read a while ago. It says, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. I call to your attention that little question, "What think ye of Christ, whose son is he?" And I ask you to listen very, very carefully as I bring a long introduction and then a very practical closing. I want to ask you a personal question in closing. Our Heavenly Father, these 112 years, the old church downtown has withstood the attacks of the gates of hell, the attacks of Satan. And we've also done some attacking ourselves. We've been trying to bombard the gates of heaven with hell with the gospel of Christ and the truth of this book. And now tonight, once again, after all these years, we come to proclaim just another portion of this book. Bless me as I speak and our people as they hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say one thing I forgot to say a while ago. Sometime during the next week or so, near our anniversary time of our church's birthday, I hope you'll not forget to stop out here in front of these men's pictures who pastored this church through the years. I never forget them. Every week I go out there, I look at those men and thank God for them. They did not agree with everything that I preach, but they believed the same book that I preach and the same Christ that I preach and the same gospel that I preach. And they kept these doors open until I got here. And I want to thank God for them. I hope you will stop by there sometime in the next few days and look at those men, their pictures, and thank God for them. A young man steps out of a carpenter's shop and announces himself as the Son of God. Can you imagine that? A young man who had walked with these people of Nazareth, known not by of anything except being, I'm sure, a decent young man, but a carpenter. And this young man steps out of the carpenter's shop and announces himself as the Son of God. Turn me up just a bit, please. He calls all ranks of society to accept him as guide of their lives. Are you listening to me? A young man steps out of a carpenter shop in probably the most humble of all the cities of Canaan. Nazareth, they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was the slum city of all of the country. And this young man steps out of the carpenter shop in this simple little town, and he says, not only is he the Son of God, but he calls on all ranks of society to accept him as guide of their lives and savior of their souls. It's unbelievable. He offers eternal life to all who believe him. Imagine. I suppose a guy just steps out of the house, enters the college, and says, I'm the Son of God. He'd be in the Dire Mercy Hospital mental ward pretty soon. But here's a young man that comes and says, I am the Son of God. And he offers eternal life to all who believe and eternal damnation to all who disbelieve. This carpenter of infamous Nazareth even declared that he someday would be the final judge of all the world. Without a blush on his cheek, he announces himself as being equal with God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, no man has seen God in any time except the only begotten of the Father, which was he himself. He said, I and my Father, this carpenter, the one who had been hired by the people of Nazareth to do repair jobs, to fix their boats and so forth, this carpenter of Nazareth said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. And again he said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Now, 2 millenniums have passed. What do men say about him today? Some say he was a man of consummate goodness, yet a man. Others say he was a student of prophecy, a well-meaning, good-natured imposter. Others say he was a literary product of his time. Others say he was the ideal human character. Others say after 2 millenniums he was a perfect example of life. Charles Dickens, when asked who was the greatest of all storytellers, answered, Jesus Christ was the greatest of all storytellers. And then he was asked, what is the greatest story he ever told and the greatest story ever told? And he said, that's easy, the prodigal son. Charles Lamb, a literary legend, said, if Shakespeare were to walk in this room, we would rise to greet him. If Jesus should appear, we should all kneel before him. Edmund Kean, the England's greatest actor, said, one passage was so full of tears that no man could properly utter it. Spoken by Jesus when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who is this carpenter of Nazareth? Who really is this one who said he was the Son of God? Who said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man could come to the Father but by him? Who is this one? Some saw him and heard him and said, this is the returning of Elijah. Elijah reincarnate. That's who this preacher is. Somebody else said he's John the Baptist. That's who he is. Someone said, no, he's Isaiah the prophet. Someone else said, no, he's Jeremiah the prophet. Or someone said, he's one of the prophets. Pilate, who tried him, carefully scrutinized him, and had every reason in the world to find something wrong with him. And Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. And Pilate was true, because to be our lamb, to be our sacrifice, he had to be a male without blemish. And certainly nobody has ever found any fault with this man. The Roman centurion who superintended the crucifixion said, after watching all of the events that had transpired, he saw the accusations, he heard the false testimonies, he saw the trial, he saw the beating with the cat of nine tails, he saw how he reacted when the crown of thorns was placed on his head, he saw how they made him a mock king and put a sign, this is the King of the Jews. He saw all of that. And what did this Roman centurion say after he'd seen the trial and the sentencing of Christ and even, no doubt, the crucifixion of Christ? The one who superintended the crucifixion said, surely this was the Son of God. Oh, he knocked a home run with the bases loaded. This was the Son of God. All agreed. He was magnanimous, yet humble. All agreed that he was firm, yet meek. All agree that he was dignified, yet condescending. All agree that he was pure, and yet he loved sinners. All agree that he was spiritual, yet never austere. All agree that he was thoughtful, yet never melancholy. All agree that he was busy, yet never restless. All of us agree he was frank, and yet never rude, holy, yet sympathetic, loving, yet righteous, and just, yet understanding. This is the what think ye of Christ. And by the way, your answer to this question determines whether you'll spend eternity walking down golden streets or burning in the fires of hell. What think ye of Christ? But let's look for a moment at those who know him best. I'm talking about those that walked with him for 3 years. I'm talking about those that whose feet tread with his on the Mount of Olives. I'm talking about those who walk the dusty shores of Judean hills and the rocky mountains of the mountains of Judea. I'm talking about those that saw him heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. I'm talking about the men who knew him better than anybody has ever known him, the men who scrutinized him carefully by day and by night. I'm talking about, let's see what those men said about him. Perhaps familiarity would breed contempt. Or perhaps intimacy would reveal to them weaknesses. They saw him in times of flattery, when ordinary men might have been betrayed by pride. When did they saw him when betrayed, which would have exposed perhaps his weaknesses? They saw him when rulers took counsel to kill him, when if he had had direction, it would have been revealed. They saw him under the floodlight of investigation. They lived with him over 3 years. They saw him on all occasions. They saw him weep. They saw him laugh. They saw him crowned. They saw him crucified. They saw him hailed. They saw him railed. They saw him nailed. They saw him lonely in crowds. They saw him praised. They saw him rebuked. They saw him bold and meek. And what did they say? These who knew him best. Hey, Pilate saw him and said, I find no fault in this man. And the centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. But these men knew him best. What will they say about him? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Matthew said, he's the King of Kings. Mark said, he's God, but a suffering servant.
Luke said he's God and also the Son of Man. And John said he is God incarnate, the very God of gods in human flesh. That's what they said.
They saw him after he awoke in the morning without having had as much as a pillow under his head. They knew him.
They saw him after he had been falsely accused by guilty men for whom he came to die.
They knew him.
They saw him come to his own, and his own received him not.
They knew him.
They saw him when he sorrowed. They saw him when he grieved. They saw him when he was despised by those whom he loved. These men knew him like nobody has ever known him. I wonder what they will say about him.
They saw him weary at noontide and lonely at midnight.
They saw him heal people who never returned, but just say thank you. They saw him open eyes that were blind that never came to feast upon him again. They saw him open deaf ears and unstopped deaf ears for people who never came to hear him say anything again. They saw him unbind dumb tongues and make them speak and never came back with those same tongues to say,
thank you. These men saw him under those conditions. They saw him wrongly accused. They saw him wrongly tried. They saw him wrongly convicted. They saw him wrongly sentenced. They saw him wrongly punished.
They saw him sweating drops of blood in Gethsemane's garden. They saw him misunderstood by his family, forsaken by his friends, rejected by his nation. They saw him exiled. They saw him riled and railed and rejected and refused. They saw him in every condition and consequence of life for 3.5 years. The microscope of man was upon this one who said he was the Son of God, who exited a carpenter shop and entered into the glory land, and between said, I am the Son of God. If you trust me, you can go to heaven. If you don't trust me, you'll go to hell. I'll someday judge you, and you'll stand before me at the judgment time. He is
inspected by those who know him best. They saw him misunderstood, misrepresented, mistreated, mishandled, and misconstrued.
They saw him heal and be accused. It was for the power of Satan. And they saw his reaction to that. They saw him discouraged, disappointed, disapproved, dismissed, disallowed, and disowned. They saw him betrayed by his treasurer. Denied by his board chairman, forsaken by his apostles. They saw him. And what did these who knew him? Hey, don't listen to some theology professor who never saw him. Don't listen to some liberal who tells you what he thinks he was. You listen to those who know him best, those who walked with him for 3.5 years by day and by night, in tears, in sorrow, in heartache, in laughter and tears, in victory and defeat, in crowning and crucifying. Let's hear what they have to say.
Well, Peter said, I watched him.
He said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Anybody that says that's talking about Peter, the rock, the foundation of the church, ought to go out and have their head examined, brother. The word Peter means little pebble. By the way, the Baptist church was not built on little pebble. It was built on that statement that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't sing pebble of ages cleft for me or squashed by me, but rock of ages cleft for me. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John the Baptist saw him coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Thomas came and bowed before him and reached in and touched the scars and said, my Lord and my God. Matthew said he was King of Kings. And as I said a while ago, Mark said he was God, but a servant. And Luke said he was God, but he was man. And John said he was God incarnate. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Mary Magdalene, who saw him and knew him, she saw him walk the shores of Galilee. She saw him as he walked the hills of Judea. She saw him as he blessed little children and opened blind eyes and deaf ears and dumb tongues. And she said, "Master, Master, that's what he is. He's God's begotten Son. He's God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. He's the Master and the King of kings and Lord of lords." Now, let me ask you a question. That's my introduction. Let me ask you a question. What do those who know you best think of you? Those who scrutinize you the most. Suppose your wife could give an anonymous and true statement about you and your Christianity. What would she say? I said anonymous. Huh? Suppose your husband could give an anonymous and true statement about your Christianity. Suppose with their hands on the Bible, standing in the face of God Himself, and God said, "What do you think about the Christianity of your wife?" I've said this before. I say it again. The best Christian I know is sitting right here on the front row of the choir. I know what I'm talking about. I know it. Now, what would your husband say? What would your wife say? I ask you a question. What would your brother say if he was asked, "What kind of a Christian is my sister?" What would your sister say if she were asked, "What kind of a Christian is your brother?" What would your mother say if she were asked, "What kind of a Christian is her son or daughter?" What would your father say if he were asked to anonymously describe your Christianity? How about those who work with you? Those who see you hit your nail with a hammer and hear the testimony that follows. Those who 8 hours a day work beside you in an office building. Those who work beside you in a factory. Those who share the making of a living with you in the same profession. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that God's people walk like they talk. It's time that God's people's their actions measured up to their words and their testimonies. How about your children? How about your children? I like to tell this story, and you've heard it before, those who've been here. A man came to my office several years ago. He had two girls in our junior high school. And he said, at that time, Mr. Lively was principal. He said, "Mr. Lively and the teachers of the junior high school have mistreated my daughters." He told me what he thought that Mr. Lively and the teachers had done. And I said, "Well, are you sure?" "Why?" He said, "Of course I'm sure." I said, "Who told you they had done this?" And he said, "My daughters told me." And I asked him the question, "Did it ever dawn on you that your daughters might be misrepresenting the truth?" "Oh," he bristled. He said, "Are you calling my daughters a liar?" I said, "No, I'm just saying all of us have the possibility sometimes of misrepresenting the truth. I'll have you know my daughters always tell the truth." I said, "They always tell the truth?" "Yes, they do. And nobody's going to convince me they've ever lied." I said, "Then would you like me to tell you what they said about how you and your wife are getting along?" Well, he said, "Maybe they did make a mistake." Those who knew him best spoke best of him. Those who walked with him the closest spoke the highest of him. If you had been scrutinized by those the closest, I say, what kind of statement would they make about your life? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time our Christianity got so real, our wives think we're real, our husbands think we're real, our mothers think we're real, our fathers think we're real, our children think we're real, and our God thinks we're real. I've received many honors in my life. I do not know how many honorary doctor's degrees I have. I have no idea. I've received doctorates from many. I would say no less than a dozen doctor's degrees I have. I have preached in all the great Baptist conventions, from the Southern Baptist Convention all the way to the smallest independent Baptist convention. I was twice, 2 years in a row, chosen pastor of the year of the 3,500 churches in the Texas Baptist Convention. I have received honor after honor through these years. May I tell you the three greatest honors I've ever received? Number one, in the heat of the battle, Mrs. Hiles stood where I'm standing right now and pointed to me and said, "That's the best Christian I know." That's the greatest honor I've ever received. And the second greatest honor, our daughter wrote my biography. And the third greatest honor, having spent 40 years under your scrutiny, and you still come to hear me. I know no honor like that. 40 years I've walked with you. 40 years I've stood behind this pulpit. 40 years you followed me on my car to see if I was going speed limit. And many of you have passed me and then saw whom you passed, and I saw your brake light go on. I think it was your wife of the day, wasn't it, that she followed this funeral procession until she found out that I was leading it. And it was no funeral procession. It was some old coot up there keeping the speed limit. You watched me for these years, and you scrutinized me, and to think that this many people would come to hear me preach. I don't know any greater honor than that. I ask you three questions in closing. What kind of Christian does the one closest to you think you are? Number two, what kind of Christian do you think you are? Number three, what kind of Christian does he think you are? These are the three who know you best. Jesus said, "Whom say men that I am?" One disciple said, "I heard a guy call you Elijah." Another said, "I heard somebody call you Isaiah." Another said, "Someone thinks you're Jeremiah." Another said, "No, you're John the Baptist." Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Ladies and gentlemen, let's so live, so walk, so talk, and so be honest, and so pay our debts, and so live a clean life. To those who know us best can say with Jesus, about as they said about Jesus, "He's real, he's real, he's real." May they say that about you. I ask a question. What does your wife think about your Christianity? What does your husband think? What would your daughter say to me or son if they came to my office and told me sincerely what kind of Christian you are? What does your brother think? What does your sister think? One of the great delights of my life is that I've been able to pastor those who know me best. I pastored my wife 40 years. Or pestered, I'm sorry. For 40 years. I pastored our baby girl who will be 40 years of age this coming Tuesday. I pastored her all of her life. I pastored my sister in Texas. I was her pastor. And now for these 25 years or so, I've been her pastor here. I pastored Mrs. Hiles' father. I pastored my mother for years. I pastored Mrs. Hiles' mother for years. I pastored Mrs. Hiles' brother for years and his family for years. I pastored my sister's two daughters for years. Ask a question. What do those who know you best think about your Christianity?
I'm no example at all. I myself want to so live so that he who knows me best, the omniscient one, will have confidence and trust in me. Would you bow your heads, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.